You couldn't be anywhere better than right here, right now. Because right here, right now, God's going to unlock destiny. Right here today, God's going to set people free. Right here today, God's going to answer prayer. Do you believe that? Come on, if you believe that, give a shout. Come on, God, we worship you, we praise you. You are awesome. We've got prayer requests. Every week we come together and we pray. And we pray in faith. God says that where we come together in faith, where we link our belief, where there's unity, He commands a blessing. And right now there's people who need a blessing. We've heard miracle after miracle after miracle as a result of the prayers that we've prayed. Just recently there was a little girl we've been praying for called Molly. And she's a little baby. And she was born not too long ago. She's a friend of someone in City Campus's child. She was born and she was diagnosed with a disease that I don't know the name of, I can't pronounce it. But only she was the 30th person in the world to be diagnosed with this disease. This tiny little baby. The disease is always fatal. Of the other 29 people, all of them have died. They said that she would die. Well, guess what? Molly Sue's mum and dad got the news that she's going to come home. She beat the odds. 100 to 1, no much greater than that. But it's because our God is an awesome God. Our God is a God who cares. Our God is a God who answers prayers. We don't know how, we don't know when our job is to pray. So right now, in this folder, we've got needs. We've got people who desperately need a miracle. We've got court cases that are really, really vital to people's lives. We've got people who are facing homelessness because they can't find a house. We've got people who need finances. We've got people who need physical healing. People who need emotional healing. People who need to be free of addictions. We've got so much. But our God is so much greater. So will you join with me and pray for these people today? Will you lift up the needs of the people you know as we pray? And let's believe God for a miracle. You with me? Come on, God, we lift up these needs to you right now. And we thank you, Lord, that you are bigger, you are greater. You said you sent Jesus to the cross and it is finished. So we declare that over every one of these circumstances, Father God, that your favour will go forth before those going into court cases. Your favour will go forth those who are looking for housing. Father God, your name will rise up above every circumstance in every life. And Father God, we'll see miraculous healing in people's body. We declare that. We declare it right now over every one of these requests. And we bless you and we thank you and we honour you this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Awesome. Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to hear what happens. Because I have absolutely no doubt that when we pray, God moves. We don't always see it. It's not always in the way we expect it. But He's always faithful. So don't forget, if you have a prayer request, there's a prayer request box down the back. If you put it in that, it actually gets to this folder and we pray for it as a church on Sunday. So it's not just you praying. It's your church family praying with you. City Campus prays along for what we're praying along for as well. So there's a lot of unity there. Well, welcome to church. Great day to be here. We've got lots happening on. Our very own Pastor Beck will be here shortly. She's going to share something about leadership excellence. But right now, how about you turn to the person next to you, say quick hi. Welcome to church. Okie dokie. We've got a social bunch this morning, haven't we? It's great to have a church that's so friendly. Everyone makes everyone feel welcome. It's part of who we are. Why don't you take a seat? Let's welcome Soretta to the platform this morning. Come on, give her a good welcome.
Good morning. I am just going to have a little bit of time to talk about tithes. I guess when Juliet asked me, I thought the best thing to do was just to speak from my heart and just to share with you how God took me on that journey to tithing, because it certainly wasn't an easy thing to start doing for me. It's pretty unnatural, I think, to be giving. I guess the scripture I just wanted to go through, it's in Malachi 3, and I think most of you know it, at 10 to 12. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. I think that's a scripture used a lot in tithing messages, and I guess I've chosen it because it's one that I'd heard, and it really spoke to me in the fact that God was challenging me. I really, and there was something in it for me as well. I think oftentimes, if you were all like the rest of us, and we've got our human nature, I thought, well, you know, what's in it for me, God? And that scripture was a challenge from the Lord just to try Him, pay my tithes, and have a go and see what God could do. And I've got to tell you, God is great. He looks over His word to perform it. He delivers time and time again. He will not let you down, and He's never let me down on this area of tithing or in any other part of my life. He's a faithful God. So I guess just a real quick background, because I've got 3 minutes, so I'll start. I came from a fairly background that I was struggling. I grew up in housing commission, and there was poverty all over my life. So I guess my security and my trust was in my bank balance once I'd left school, and I thought, okay, I can make some money now. I'll never be broke again. I'll always have money in the bank. And God needed to change that in me. He needed to set me free from poverty and help me to see that He was my provider. He was all that I needed. And free of money being that security for me. And I'm happy to say that He has. And He's blessed me abundantly. I've got a lovely family, I've got a beautiful home, and I've got a great job that I love, and, you know, I guess it's not all about getting all the time, but that's God's heart for us. He just really loves us as we'd love our own children. He just wants to rain down everything upon our lives, and I guess, you know, God owns everything, and at the end of the day, we're going to stand before Him in glory, so we keep our eyes on that right now. It makes it easier to live out day by day what challenges us. So I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to take up our tithes. Father God, I just thank You that You're a God who loves us so much, that You are faithful, that we can rely on You in every situation. And Father, as we bring our seed, it's to partner with You and what You want to do on the earth. And Lord, we just thank You for that privilege. We just pray that You would bless the tithes this morning, God, and that You would just reveal something new to each of us today on this journey, because we're all on a journey, Lord. We've never arrived, or, you know, Father, there's so much that You want to show us. You have pearls to share with each one of us, Lord, and we just praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus Christ is the most read about, talked about person in history. In fact, Jesus Christ wasn't just the Son of Man, He was the Son of God. He was born in the stable of Bethlehem. He's the Savior, and He's the hope of the world. He is the healer. He's the one who can forgive sins and give us the gift of eternal life. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Prince of Peace. Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
All right, great things coming. You ready for the Word of God this morning? Can we be just a little bit more happy about it? Just a touch. After all, it is the living, active Word of God. It is something that has the power to change our lives. It is something that brings healing, deliverance, and so many other things. Do you believe that? Cool. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the Word. You are the Word in action. You are the Word in the flesh. And today, Lord, we want to see the Word become flesh in our lives. We want to see the Word become truth in our lives. We want to see the Word, you, come into our spirit and do what you need to do. Father God, we submit ourselves to you. We submit this time to you. And we ask that you come and you have your way, that you move mightily upon us, that you bring revelation, not just religion, Father. Come and show us what we need to know so we can take your Word, so we can take your truth and make it active in our life, so that we can live the way you've called us to live, so that we have something that is solid to stand on. Father God, let our foundation in you be so strong that we cannot turn to the left or right. We can't waver. And Father, as we open our heart to receive your Word, I just pray that it will do all that you ordained for it to do today. And Father God, you'll bring healing, you'll bring deliverance, you'll bring freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Without the Word of God, I would be deep in a hole. Absolutely deep in a hole. Morning, Rebecca. Everyone say, morning, Rebecca. You didn't really have to. We have such an awesome opportunity this year. We've had awesome opportunities every single year, but each year is better. It's greater. It's more opportunity. It's fresh opportunity. It's new opportunity. And every single person sitting here this morning has before them the most amazing, fantastic, terrific, I am running out of words, destiny. But your destiny is special to you alone. Because God made each one of us very, very different. And he did that for a reason. It's because we're all supposed to do different things. If he made us all alike, we'd all do the same thing and it would get very, very boring. Something that we at Good Life are passionate about is that every single person is propelled onto their platform of ministry. That every single person is equipped, anointed, appointed, whatever you need to be able to step up to where God has you and to do it with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength and do it as to the Lord, as the Bible says. So, if you're going to rise onto that platform, you need to know a few things, you need to do a few things, you need to be a few things. But if you don't know what your platform even is, where do you start? You were put on this earth for a purpose. The purpose is to solve a problem. The problem is to discover what the problem your purpose is meant to solve. You want me to say that again? You're put on the earth for the purpose. The purpose is to solve a problem. The problem is to discover what the problem you're meant to solve is. Bit of a riddle, but it's the truth. You are here for a reason. God just didn't say, bang, yeah, that'll do. He didn't make rejects. He didn't make mistakes. He didn't make people to just do nothing. He looked at you before you were born, Natasha Dwyer, and he said, I have created this woman for a purpose. He looked at little Billy when he was not even an inkling in Mum's womb and said, Billy, you're called for a purpose. Every single person called for a purpose. Every believer is a leader in some sphere of their lives. Now, we know this, but time and time again, we say, I'm not a leader. I'm not a leader. You are a leader. If you're a believer, you're a leader. Whether you want to be or not, you're a leader because other people are watching you. You are an example to the world of how great your Saviour is. You're an example to the world of His healing. You're an example to the world of His transforming power. But if you don't see yourself as a leader, you will never shine it forth. Find your platform, people. Find it. Because when you find your platform, you find your purpose. When you stand on your platform, you do things you never thought you'd be able to do. But you've got to find your platform. We're all good at something. We're all good at something. Sometimes you don't know what you're good at. And sometimes you do. Sometimes you think you're good at something you're not. Other people certainly start telling you if that's the case. One of the easiest ways to find out something that you're good at is to look back through your life and identify when people have said to you, gee, you're good at that, or I wish I could do that, or how do you do that? That's so hard and you find it so easy. That is one of the keys to finding what you're naturally good at. Because we tend to take for granted what we're naturally good at. We just assume everyone can do it. But they can't. If you don't know what you're good at, just do something. You know, you can start with any platform and just work from there. I want to talk about my friend Rod Smith. Now there's a faithful man hiding down there. Rod Smith does know what his giftings are. But you know where you find Rod Smith most Friday nights? Driving a church bus for youth. Now, would you think that's a mighty platform? Not necessarily. But you know, he saw a need, he met a need. And God will develop him through that. And God will bring him his platform because he's being faithful with what he found to do. Another person we can brag on, Karen Smith. Where's Karen? Who would have thought that Karen would find her calling in food care? Certainly not Karen. But you know what? She loves it. She's found something that excites her. And this week in food care, we've just had our contract renewed and we've got something massive to share. We got our contract renewed in the most miraculous, amazing ways. Work for the Dole contracts have changed enormously in the past 12 months. 6 months ago, we started finding that people weren't turning up as often as they used to. I didn't know how much the rules had changed, but they had changed significantly. And a whole lot of projects were cut off, a whole lot were stopped, and the providers of those projects were changed as well. So now we've only got one provider of Work for Dole projects in Newcastle, and that is the Salvation Army. Of course, the Salvation Army will give contracts to the Salvation Army because that's their own and that's the way it goes. There are currently 6 projects in the Hunter Valley. 4 of those are Salvation Army. There's 2 projects in the Toronto area. One of them is Salvation Army. The other one is us. Now, along the rules of Work for the Dole, you can't actually have 2 projects in the one town. But they renewed our contract against all the odds, against all the rules, because Toronto is the only project that gets 100% attendance and 100% completion. Do you know what that says? That says our food care team rock. That says our food care team, Karen, Leanne, Jenny Hart, everyone involved with that, Paul and Carol, everyone, you rock. You are doing awesome things. You've found a platform that may not have seemed significant at the time, but you're changing lives. There's people in church because of the platform that is food care. And, you know, we can get stuck in the day-to-day thinking about the humdrum needs and the hardship of food care. Food care is hard work. It's a lot of hard work. But God is moving through it. So that's some people who have found a platform. What about you? Last night I went to see a movie called The Blind Side. Has anyone seen it yet? No one's seen it. Oh. Do you mind if I give you a bit of a spoiler? It's awesome. I won't tell you the end, but it's all about a young black guy who is an orphan, basically, and how he comes through. When you first see him, he has no gifting or talent. He can play ball. He can play basketball, and they let him into a Christian school, and a family lets him into their home, and a whole lot of stuff happens. He didn't know what his platform was. But as they were testing him when he was a kid, you know how they do aptitude tests and stuff, one of the things that really struck me in the movie was that they'd done all these scores on this boy, and he was in like the fourth percentile out of 100 for nearly everything. But he was in the 98th percentile for protective instinct. And you think, well, what does that mean? You know what? That was a clue to his platform. I'm not going to tell you anymore because I don't want to spoil the movie. You need to see it. But he was naturally good at something. And it revealed what platform God had made for him. And the platform God had made for him was awesome. What are you overlooking in your life? See, you can look at all the 2 and 3 percentile things that you're not good at and feel bad about yourself. Or you can look and say, what am I good at? God, what's my platform? Identify your platform. Look at your gifts, your talents, your passions, your dreams. They're all clues. But you can have a platform, you can know your platform, yet still not be able to stand on it. You've got to do some stuff first. Here's some important things to know about your platform. Number one, your platform will become apparent while you're serving God's vision. If you look in Nehemiah 6, Nehemiah was called to build the wall, to rebuild the wall of Israel. He was called to come and make it all right again. And while he was doing that, he came under fire. He came under a lot of fire. He was just doing what God told him. They accused him of being ready to run a coup. They accused him of all sorts of stuff. But you know what? He didn't get distracted. He just did what God told him to do. He served. And at one stage he served with a weapon in one hand while he was building, because that's how he told his army to build the wall. You know, just protect yourselves, but don't stop. Your platform will become apparent while you're serving God's vision. See, they accused him of going to go against the king. They accused him of all sorts of things. He didn't get distracted. But once that wall was built, he then became someone with great influence in Israel. See, the platform was not the wall. That just undergirded the platform. His obedience built the platform. He served. He served in whatever God told him to do. You have to make room for your platform. It takes space. If you have a look in Nehemiah 8, it's talking about Ezra the scribe. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And it goes on how Ezra brought the book of the law. He read from it in the open square. He stood, if you look in verse 4, so Ezra the scribe stood on a platform made of wood, which they'd made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood all the other people. You can go straight over that verse and not see the significance of the platform. It was just a platform made of wood. It was just something he stood on. But without that platform, Ezra could not have been seen or heard that day. There were thousands of people in the square. See, his platform wasn't showy. His platform was just made of wood. It was even so not showy that they haven't even named the wood. In the Bible, it's very, very particular, but they just said it was made of wood. I looked in every version of the Bible I could find. It was just something they knocked up out of wood specifically for the purpose. Your platform is built for your purpose. If you try and stand on somebody else's platform, it will collapse. It will fall over. It will not hold you. because it's not meant to. You have to make room for your platform. If they hadn't have made room in the square that day where Ezra needed to speak, if they hadn't have built that platform, none of them would have heard the word of God. You have to make room. So how do you make room for your platform in your life? Make time. Spend time with God. If you do not make time with God, you cannot build your platform. You cannot even get onto your platform unless you prioritize time with God. And make time to develop your skills. So many people, God gives them a vision, He gives them a dream, and they sit back and think, well, God, do it. But God's saying, no, I've given it to you, you do it. You go out, go to Bible college, go do what you need to do, whatever it is you need to do, go to trade school, go to tech, go to uni, whatever it is God has told you to do, go do it. Don't expect it to just drop in your lap. It's not going to happen. So make time to develop your skills. In Luke 14 it says, count the cost and finish what you began. Counting the cost means that you set aside time and protect it to serve God. You need to protect your time with God. You need to protect the time that you've set aside for serving God. You need to protect the time you've set aside to spend with God. It has to make a priority in your life. It has to be something you say when something else comes along, you know what? Love to, but I can't. That's my time with God. Because if we put God first, then everything else comes into order. But if we try and fit Him in last, He never fits. Good intentions aren't enough. Have a look in Luke 9 if you want to see what God says about good intentions. We can think, oh, well, I'd like to do that. Oh, God, you know my heart. Yes, God does know your heart. But faith without works is dead. So your heart, well, that's great. If you've got a pure heart, it's a really good start. But it's not the be-all, end-all. You need to do something with it. Number three, it may not look how you expect it to. Now, let's have a look at Ezra again. Ezra was a priest. He was a very high priest. He was a scribe. He was someone that was someone fairly important to the nation of Israel. He could have looked at that wooden platform that was just made of any old thing. It was made specifically for the occasion. He could have looked at it and said, you know what? I'm used to serving in the temple. And in the temple there's gold and there's silver and there's beautiful woods and there's this and there's that. He could have said, this isn't good enough for me. But he recognized his platform. And he stepped up on it. And because of that, the nation of Israel heard the word of God. Don't despise your platform. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't be looking at someone else's platform and saying, why have they got a good platform? Your platform is your own. Someone else's platform is for them. It's really easy to look at someone else's platform and think that you would like what they've got. But if you want what they've got, you need to do what they've done to get there. And that means standing on your own platform. Is that making sense? Substance. The substance of... If you have your mobile phone on, could you please turn it off? It's interfering with our electronics. Thank you. You know, the platform, it was built of wood. The substance of what the platform was made of was not important. But the platform was prominent. Everyone saw it. Everyone saw Ezra on it. Everyone knew its purpose. Because it was being used for the purpose it was supposed to be used for. Don't despise your platform. Zechariah 4 says, don't despise this small beginning, for the eyes of the Lord rejoice to see the work begin. How many times do we look at a platform and see it as only small because we haven't started yet? And then we step onto it and we start doing it and it grows and it grows and it grows. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the beginning See it as the stepping stone to the future. Just find what God wants you to do and do it with all your mind. Step up onto your platform, wherever that is, and do it with all your heart. Number four, your platform is yours alone. Embrace what God's given you. How would you like it if you gave someone a gift? A gift that you had spent a lot of time choosing. A gift that you had spent a lot of time selecting specifically for a person. You gave it to them, they opened it, and someone else next to them was opening another gift. And they looked at it and said, would have preferred that. How would you feel about that? Just tad upset? That's what we do when we reject what God has for us. We look at someone else's gift and we say, oh, I don't like mine. God's given us a gift for a reason. Don't despise it. You've got no idea of what you're seeing in seed form will grow to be. See, sometimes you can only see the very, very edge of something. And then as you embrace it, as you take hold of it, as you make it yours, as you say, God, yes, I'll go with all my might. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you find that that person whose gift you thought was so wonderful, you just go straight on by. Because when you're in your gift, when you're on your platform, when you're doing what God has told you to do, you are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. No matter what area that is in, you are unstoppable and you are forced to be reckoned with. Pursue excellence. God, I was thinking about this last night. I thought, God, what's a great illustration for this? And I saw a picture of the earth. You know, you can picture the earth in your mind, right? If you see it from space, it's this lovely globe. It rotates however fast it rotates on a slight angle. God didn't make the earth kind of lopsided and wobbly and say, that'll do. He made perfection. He made it so excellent that it spins by itself. It keeps us on it. It keeps our atmosphere happening. And it all just came from because God spoke. God doesn't have an attitude of she'll be right, mate. God has an attitude of excellence. And we're not going to be perfect until the day we're before God. Simple as that. We're human, we're frail, we make mistakes. But we don't have to be perfect to be excellent. Excellence is an attitude of heart. Excellence says, I'm going to do this to the best of my ability, recognizing that I can get better at it as time goes on. But right now, I'm going to give it all I've got. That's what excellence is. In Ecclesiastes 9, in the Message Bible, it says, seize life, eat bread with gusto, drink wine with a robust heart. Yes, God takes pleasure in your pleasure. Dress festively every morning. Don't skimp on colours and scarves. Relish life with the spouse you love each and every day of your precarious life. Each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it. And heartily. This is your last and only chance at it. For there's neither work to do nor thoughts to think in the company of the dead. God wants us to live this life loud. He wants us to live this life robustly, it says. He wants us to live this life in a way that others look and say, what is it about you? And that doesn't mean that if you're a shy, quiet person that you've got to become someone you're not. It means live with gusto, your way. Take your life, actually take hold of it and say, this is a gift. It's not a hardship. It's not something I just have to endure with a sour look on my face and hope that one day, somehow, I'll get to the end of it, end up in heaven and be happy. If you're not happy here, you probably won't be in heaven. We need to learn what we are and who become who we're going to be now, because that's who we will be in heaven. We're not going to have this magical transformation the day we die. I don't think there's anything worse than enduring life. I think it's the biggest rip-off. I endured 5 years when I had depression, and I did endure it. It was horrific. I didn't want to be alive. When you're enduring life, you're not living it. You're not wanting to be alive because it's not fun. That's not life abundant. That is not the life God gave us. That is not the life that Jesus paid so dearly for. He died so that we could have joy. He died so that we could grab hold of the gift he gave us and make it shine. He died so that we could live. How awesome is that? I don't know, but it makes me kind of happy. Kind of. Colossians 3:23-24. How about you have a look in there? You got it? Says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from God, from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. When you take hold of your platform, when you do what God's asking you to do, when you live your life, you're actually living it for Christ. Don't forget that bit. Don't think, oh, I'm just marking on time and I'll... No. Every day, there's a day set before you and God says, live it for me. He went. He's not here anymore. So we're actually getting the opportunity to do it on his behalf. Live it for me. Do it for me. Get in those people's world and love them for me. Lay hands on the sick and see them healed for me. Speak an encouraging word to that person who's down for me. Use the platform God's given you. Do you go to school? That's your platform. Do you go to uni, to TAFE? That's your platform. You have a class full of people. You have a platform to speak to. That doesn't mean getting on a soapbox and making your own platform. It means standing on the platform God's given you. Number five is your platform depends on continued service. It's not a once-only deal. You don't do a whole lot of stuff. God gives you a platform. You stand there and you think, I can relax now. You've actually got to keep serving. You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep growing. Otherwise, you actually disqualify yourself. A person who stops in a race is disqualified. They cannot win. Jesus said, keep on racing. Keep on going. Win the prize. Get to the end. Don't stop. So what a lot of people tend to do is they make this short burst. Well, they serve God with all their might. As soon as they give their heart to the Lord, they lay down their life and they serve God with all their might, and then discouragement comes. They say, you know what, been there, done that, don't need to do it anymore. And they actually step back off their platform. And then they become people who complain because they see other people's platforms continue to grow. And they say, why isn't mine growing? Well, you stepped off your platform, dear. Step back on. Start again. If you haven't got the attitude of serving, your platform won't hold you anyway. The whole trussle, what do you call it? The trusses underneath a platform, they're built from your attitude of servanthood. If you do not serve, there's no platform for you to stand on, because every platform in the kingdom of God comes in a servant form. The greater your platform, the greater your capacity to serve. So if you're wanting a platform, be prepared to serve. It's the only way you're going to get one. Develop the attitude of a servant. The continued stability of your platform comes from dedicated, continued service to God. It's not a once-off deal. Run the race, win the prize. Don't grow weary in doing good. If God has promised it, he'll do it. How many times do we have a dream before us and just before we're probably about to hit breakthrough, we stop because we're discouraged. It all looks too hard. Oh, God, it's never going to happen. Push through. If God has told you something, it's going to happen. The Bible says he's not a man. He doesn't lie. If God has told you something, it's truth. So our job is to stay in faith until truth becomes our reality. B, being on your platform takes faith. How many people have bought their promise and bail out? How many times, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people who I know are just about to hit something and they just bail out. And you see them go backwards and they complain and they're bitter and they feel defeated. They feel all these things. But the truth is they bailed out. God didn't let them down. God didn't remove their platform from them. They just jumped off. If you want to be on the platform God's given you, stay on it. Don't bail out. And last but definitely not least, every platform is significant if it's God's call for your life. Being the senior pastor is not the top of the spiritual tree. Being a leader of a department is not the top of the spiritual tree. If that's not God's call for you, then going there is not going to take you anywhere. You need to find God's call for you because that's the top of the tree you need to climb. You need to go on the platform God's given you and you need to say, God, I will not despise this. I will take hold of it. I will love it. I will embrace it. I will believe you for everything. And I'll run. And I refuse to back down. I refuse to stop. When we become a church full of people that are propelling others onto their platform, we will see our community absolutely transformed. But you can't propel anyone onto a platform if you're not on yours. Can I have the music team up, please? Today, as I've been speaking, I believe that there's people here who say, I know that I've stepped off my platform. I know that God showed me something and for whatever reason, I backed away. I know that I'm not directly in the call of God for my life. There's other people who are saying, I don't actually know what the call of God is for my life. I want to find my platform. And I want to open the altar and we want to pray for people this morning. We want to see you propelled onto your platform. We want to see you shine. We want to see you given every encouragement, every opportunity to do what God's calling you to do. That's our heart as a church. That's who we are. So if you're one of those people and you'd like to come forward, we'd love to pray for you. We would love to see God move in your life. We would love to see you released onto your platform. Because today could be the day that changes your life. Now there's people here who you know God's calling you. Let's close our eyes for a moment. You know God's calling you. There's people who are tradespeople here and you know God's calling you to excellence. And there's stuff in your life you need to deal with. There's stuff in your life that keeps creeping up and robbing you of doing the best for God. There's people here who are called to go into schools and minister to kids and make a difference in their lives. There's people here who are called to make millions for the kingdom of God. Come on, if you know that's you, how about you hop up and come forward for prayer this morning? We want to see you released. Father, I thank you. I thank you for every person here. I thank you for the destiny, the calling upon their life. I thank you that every single person has a platform. And today, Father God, I ask that you bring people to a place where they see what you have before them, where they can take hold of it in faith. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Move in people's hearts. Move in their lives.
I hope you've all had a good week. I've had a good week. I've had a very busy week, but it's been good. It's been really good. I just wanted to talk for a couple of minutes about our conference, which is coming up next week. And, you know, obviously it's here I am. It's on the run sheet. I'm talking about the conference. But can I just say, I'm not just talking about the conference. I am so excited about this conference. Leadership Excellence Conference, it's next weekend. And, you know, I was excited about last year. I was so excited about last year. And God just did so much far and above beyond what I even expected. And in my spirit this year, I just sense like something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. And in our individual lives, but in our life as a church family, as a corporate church family, I just feel like God is saying this is like the launching pad for this year and the years to come. And so I really want to encourage you to get there. Really do. I'm talking tonight at in the city campus when we're all combined together. I'm actually talking about evolution versus creation and just a few things with that with, you know, my science background. And one of the things that I'm going to be talking about is something called the second law of thermodynamics. Now, it sounds complicated. If you're a scientist, you'll know exactly what it is straight up. But if not, it does sound weird. What it basically means is everything goes from a higher energy state to a lower energy state. So if you've got a hot pot just sitting on the bench, it's going to cool down. A pot sitting on the bench isn't going to just get hotter. It's going to get colder. That's basically the second. So it sounds complicated, but really, hot things get cold, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's it. Now, you know, what does it have to do with right now? What it is that I think we have a little bit of a second law in ourselves as well. You know, we can be so excited and so on fire and say, yeah, it's good. But our natural tendency is for that fire to just, yeah. You know what I mean? We can go from really, to, do you know what I'm saying? And we can be so excited and then just get a little bit passive and a little bit, I've got my church, I've got my life, I've got my job, I've got, it's all good. Or, you know, it may not be good, it may be hard at the moment, but yeah, it's we're getting there. And I just want to really encourage you, don't be passive. Don't be passive in your Christianity. In 2 Timothy, Paul the Apostle's writing to a guy called Timothy, and Paul's like Timothy's mentor, and he says to Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of laying on of my hands. Paul's saying to Timothy, stir it up. Don't let that fire go out. Don't let it die down. Don't let it die down. Stir it up. Use it because you're created for so much more. You're not created for the passive life. You're created to change the world. And I believe that. Like, we are here to change the world. We're here to change Newcastle. You with me? And sometimes, you know, sometimes it can be easy to go, well, I'm not a leader. You know, it says leadership excellence. Well, I'm not a leader. Leadership has nothing to do with position. Nothing to do with position. If you are a Christian, you are a leader. And can I tell you why? We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living inside of us. And that, I'm not saying that. That is a quote from the Bible. The Bible says that. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside. How can we not be leaders? How can we not? Do you know what I'm saying? The Bible says I can do all things through Christ Jesus. The Bible says I am God's child, for I am born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. I am God's workmanship. I am a new creature in Christ. I am a joint heir with Christ. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am above only, not beneath. We are leaders, guys. We are leaders. And we're not just leaders within the church, we're leaders out there in whatever sphere of influence you have. Whether it's in your family, whether it's in your workplace, I don't care where it is, we are leaders because we are carrying the very Spirit of God around with us. We are carrying the very presence of God with us. And that's why I want to encourage you to be at this conference, and I'll tell you why. You know, often if you're a teacher or in some other sort of workplace, often you'll have what's called in-service, where you'll, you know, take a few days out from your job and you go to a little conference training session for a couple of days, and basically what that is, it enables you to do your job better, right? You go back into your workplace and you're equipped, you've got things, you've got tools to go back and do it better. This is in service for the Great Commission. This is in service for life. This is where we're asking you to take one day off work. It's a Friday, it's Saturday, and 3 nights in service. Take a little bit of time out so that you can go back out into your workplace, back out into your family, back out into whatever sphere of influence you have and do it better. And do it better. The Great Commission, making disciples, bringing people to God, That is leadership. That is leadership, and that's what we're about. That is what we're about. We are not about these four walls. We are not about playing happy, clappy church. We're about changing the world. And I want to ask you, and I want to encourage you, please, are you with me on this? Are we going to change the city? Yes! Great. Let's start with this, okay? And let's launch this year and the years to come from this weekend. I guarantee you, you will not regret it. I have been going to conferences and camps since I was a kid, and I can tell you for sure, absolutely, it is one of the reasons I'm in the kingdom of God today. Because I go to these conferences and I encounter God, and you know what? Raised in a Christian family, I know a whole bunch of friends of mine raised in Christian families that they knew their parents' faith, they went to church their whole life, but they never encountered God. I went to camps and conferences and I encountered God for real, for my life. It changed my life. It put purpose in my life. And this is why we believe in these conferences. Okay? There are these forms everywhere. Make sure everyone's got them. And all you need to do is read the straw at the back. It's that easy. Okay? Awesome. Thank you, Juliet.
Woohoo. Well, now I know that everyone's going to register today. And you're going to make sure that you make leadership excellence a priority in your life. Because you can't go through life without the sort of touch from God that you can only get at conferences. We're making this excellent for a reason. We believe God wants to move. We really believe that. And we're ready for Thursday. We're going to launch like a rocket on Thursday night. So excited. Well, we're going to finish with a song, but before that, don't forget, we've got our cafe in there. The lovely Jenny's getting coffee ready to go. We've got the most amazing cappuccinos. We've got a place for new people to come. The red couch is up the back. Please go there if you're new today so that we can make sure we give you a great coffee and we have a chat. If you need prayer for anything, the altar's always open. We'd love to pray for you, but how about we jump to our feet and let's worship God. Let's praise him one more time.